Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
Me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Today we're talking all things ultra with Carla Molinaro.
Oh.
Yeah.
The famous La Jogger.
Exactly. So the context behind this episode is that Hoka have organised a 100-kilometre world record attempt this coming weekend. Ben and Jane, quick question for you. Can you guess what the current world record is for men and women? We'll do the men's one first for 100 kilometres, so 62 miles. What were you thinking?
I like 3:45.
So a marathon is like two.
Too quick. Two. It's now 2 hours, you know, so.
So 2 hours. So it can't be more. It can't be faster than six. It just can't.
It's not so fast. Like, it's not faster than six.
Six and a half. 6 hours, 32 minutes. Done.
6:09 is the men's.
Wow.
Wow.
So and good. I mean, I want to clarify, I was not being serious with 3:45.
Female record 6:33.
So I was close.
Very close.
Was
yeah.
I right?
Yeah.
What so did I just say?
6:32.
I think I was right.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Oh, I'm in it out.
So we'll see what's going to happen there on the weekend. There's some big names running. Jim Walmsley, obviously, big Hoka ultra runner, and I think Camille Herron as well. They'd be the big two. And Carla's obviously a brilliant runner as well, so it'll be interesting to see what she has to say. But obviously, we don't want it just to be elite-y. We want to kind of talk about ultras for the every man and woman as well. So I think that that runners have come under some flack this week. Jane, I was wondering if you could sort of fill us in on what's been going on.
I can try my best. So I'd say it all kind of started, I want to say last Monday, with Piers Morgan calling runners astonishingly selfish for the fact that they're running in kind of busy streets, busy parks, and they're breathing near people. Which, you know, I won't comment, an odd stance to take, but there we go. Oh, I just did comment. Sorry, everyone. And then Chris Whitty said that he assured the public that the risk of catching COVID from passing runners is extremely low because, you know, you're not really even that close to each other for more than a couple of seconds. So I don't know. It's kind of a weird one. Like, does Piers have a point or are runners kind of being unfairly targeted? I don't know. I don't want to pick a side so early on, so I'll let you two discuss.
I'll immediately pick a side. Piers Morgan is incorrect.
I agree.
Everything is so heightened right now that Piers Morgan's gotten a huff about something and he's just gone, oh, that's a bit annoying. So he's just had a little pop at runners. But the thing is, that's totally detrimental to a lot of people and how they're coping with lockdown, because running is safe to do, has been advised you can still do it, yet you've got people being ultimately negative towards people running and casting question about whether or not they're doing it safely. And I think that's almost an abuse of power from someone in his position.
Yeah, I mean, he loves to have an opinion, Piers, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think that there are a minority, though, and have been throughout the lockdown of runners who aren't being as sort of sensitive or thoughtful as they might be, you know, we've probably all encountered them, the kind of running down the middle of the path, kind of hyperventilating on people, and whether that, you know, medically that actually puts people in danger or not, there's something unpleasant about having someone breathing as heavily that in that kind of proximity in this kind of environment. So I think that there's a shade of truth in this. Actually, there's a minority of people who are running who aren't actually, who are giving other runners a bad name.
Yeah, there's a minority of pedestrians who are not wearing masks and being annoying. So I kind of feel like people who go to the shops and don't wear a mask. It's kind of, do you know what I mean? There's behavior stuff that I just think that there's good and bad, or there's sort of advised and unadvised. And for him to sort of just immediately be a bit like, oh, running in this road and being breathy, I think it's to antagonize, maybe it's intentional, who knows.
Yeah, but I mean, he's the great antagonist, isn't he? Well, I know that our readers have been commenting on this, but Ben, I wondered if you could give us a flavor of what the Runners World readership have had to say on this
sure thing
inflammatory issue.
Sammy says, what about the groups of walkers in the park that take up the entire pathway while meeting with another family? Yep. Well done, Sammy. Straight for the jugular there. Tim Gwynne Jones says, he, meaning Piers, does have one valid point. As I approach people, I put my hand to my mouth. It's a small, easy and reassuring thing to do. Some runners really do get too close. Okay, so there, you know, that is a fair point, I think. Stu says, I'd like everyone to be a bit more considerate to each other, regardless of what they are doing.
The voice of reason.
Stu. Yeah. Well done,
Stu. Thanks, Stu.
Go, Stu.
Well done, Stu. I think that is... all of those things are true, and I feel like... But back to the point of, like, it does seem to cut... I don't know. Lockdown 1 was kind of the same. Runners seemed to become a point of fixation when it came to sort of things that people thought were good to do and not good to do. But anyway.
Yeah, agree.
You know, until someone proves us wrong, I think, you know, we'll stick to the fact that getting outside and doing a bit of running is probably saving everyone's mental health right now. But it'd be really good to hear what everyone else thinks. So do let us know. podcast@runnersworld.co.uk. Is Piers Morgan right?
He's never right, is he? Even when he's right, he's not right. So obviously we're talking about ultras today. And Carla's coming on, and she's a huge ultra fan. She's actually, you know, she's one of the best ultra runners in the UK, if not the world. But it's not an area that everyone who's listening to this is going to know a lot about, or indeed... be a huge fan of. So I thought it'd be interesting to get our own take on ultras, because I'm not sure it's... Well, Jane, it'd be interesting. You haven't done an ultra, have you? And I don't know if you're particularly intrigued to do so or not.
I'm going to say I'm not, but I did... when I was lucky enough to go for a run with the wonderful Sophie Power, she said that we were talking about why she got into ultras, and I hope she doesn't mind me using her words on a podcast when she's not on it. But she said to me, I said, you know, I can't imagine going past that 26.2 thing in my mind. I just couldn't do it. And she said, well, the reason she got into ultras was because when you finish a marathon, the first thing I'd probably, you know, 90% of people will say is, oh, what's your time? Whereas if you go for a 100-mile run, no one is going to say, what's your time? People just, you know, aren't going to ask. And she said, it's much less pressure. You run and you walk, you stop at, you know, you have a meal, and you know, you make like a day, a week, a month of it. And that appeals to me, that there's not the same kind of pressure. But I just don't know. I don't know if my mind would let me carry on running past the marathon distance. I'm not sure. I'm not sold. But I love that kind of romantic picture that Sophie painted for me.
I think you're gonna run an ultra, aren't you, Jane? Just hearing you say that, it sounds inevitable, I think. What about you, Ben?
Yeah, I think that it appeals for all those same reasons that Jane said. I think it has a totally different approach to it, or certainly seems to have a totally different approach to it in terms of training and in terms of what is considered the sort of like the most important aspect of it. People seem to do ultras for way more reasons that I can get on board with than running like marathon. Marathons tend to be as fast as possible, or you know, they're kind of, I don't know, maybe that's just sort of how I've perceived it. But anyway, I certainly think that ultras tend to be a bit more explorative. You know, the destinations and the routes and everything seem to be way more kind of on my level. You know, you're off-road or finding new, you know, remote things and bits and pieces like that. So that appeals. I mean, it's really far, and that doesn't. So that kind of probably is the main bit of it. But I think that I really, really enjoy ultras because I like just the sort of incredible nature of them. Like, I just think it's way more engaging to me to watch and to read about and to listen to someone talk about ultras than it is a marathon. Like, I kind of just, I'm more on board with that. Even as like someone who doesn't do them, I'm kind of more engaged with someone who's like, oh, so I did, you know, like when you were doing yours, Rick, I was just a bit like, yeah, this is, I'm well into like this and dot watching.
It can feel like sort of an adventure, can't it? In that kind of mold.
But you were telling me about your London marathon or whatever, another marathon, I'd be like, yeah, all right, cool, thanks. Yeah. So, you know, it's you know, I'm sort of more, I'm definitely more engaged with it as a distance than I am the marathon. But yeah, then to actually me to do one, don't know, maybe. Maybe
watch the space.
Yeah, I think it's definitely more. It's definitely more on the maybe list than another marathon. So there you go.
That's interesting. That is interesting, isn't it? Because it's not like the distance thing in that sense. Like, you're intrigued by like the whole ethos of it. The fact it feels like a bit of adventure. The fact it's somewhere a beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I think all good reasons to do it. I think I got interested in ultras before I got interested in marathons, which is kind of a weird way around. But I don't think I'm completely alone in that, because like books like Born to Run, for instance, they're kind of ultra marathon books, and they talk about, you know, people running, you know, insane distances, and the idea that actually, you know, we're all designed to be able to do that is quite appealing. And signing up, you know, a 50-mile race on the back of that feels like this kind of insane adventure in a way that maybe signing up for 10k or a half marathon doesn't have the same like mystique, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Are you going to do another one?
I would definitely do another ultra. Definitely, yeah. I think it's quite a broad category, isn't it? So you've got everything from, I guess it sort of starts at 50k, so sort of 30 miles, and then anything up to, you know, 100. And the ones that go beyond that, but mainly it's within that kind of range. I would definitely be up for doing like a 50k or even like 50 miles, but 100 miles again, I think that's because it's like that's 20. Well, for me, that's like 24 hours basically. So like, it really, yeah, I think with a young child and stuff, just training for that, I would think would be quite time consuming. So not that, but yeah, definitely some other ultras. One area I'm not intrigued in is the track stuff. You know, the sort
of
24-hour stuff around a track.
No, hell on earth.
Across the board.
Some people think it's really like that's the pure end, right? That's like, you know, if you really want to do an ultra, that's it.
We've spoken to them, and I think it was like Susie Chan came on and spoke to us about it, and Adharahan Finn talked to us about it.
Yeah.
And they were both of like, this is the sort of possibly like the purest of all of the ultra things. Because they've gone through all the other ones. I think from outsiders like ourselves looking in, it's like that looks like the worst. But maybe for those guys, they've already been through enough of it to go like, this is the purest form of it. We've found the source.
I think you just say that, don't you? They must have hated every single second. They must have hated it. And then when you finish, you say, it was the best.
It was incredible.
It was great.
I think you'd probably say it was the best because it was so bad and you finished it. Like with all this, when anything is ultimately horrible and you complete it retrospectively, it's then the best thing you've ever done. So there you go. Maybe that, you know, that's where it comes. But I have no interest in doing 24-hour track something. No,
I would say that it brought for me like a huge sense of like achievement, possibly more so than running a marathon. The idea that you could prove to yourself that you could cover x amount of distance, that felt like
What did you think about? What were you doing in your head?
I found the first bit, and I reckon this is probably true from a lot of people, like there's a sense, isn't there, that I think with a marathon, like it does get progressively harder. But I think with the longer distances, you can have really low moments quite early on because you kind of think, oh my God, there's like 80 miles left to go. Like, how on earth how should I be feeling now? So I just, I bought a lot of like, I think quite a lot of artificial sort of positivity to it. Do you know what I mean? Kind of like the kind of fake.
That's
it
such a Rick answer, isn't it, Ben?
Yeah, it really is. I just feigned positivity and it got me through. Yeah,
for 24 hours.
I just thought really positive and then I was positive. Yeah, I'd be like killing people.
See, what I did. I tried to be as unemotional as possible because I think actually. Just to not get emotional when you go through halfway or like or see a family, just keep like to try and keep really level about stuff. It probably made me really boring to support actually.
Robot Rick.
Yeah, just a robot. Like, oh, thanks, you're here. Yeah, can I have a sandwich? Thanks a lot. Yeah, see you at the end. That's how I dealt with it.
But you did it. You did it in 24 hours. So Robot Rick did it right.
Robot Rick is incredible.
But I mean, yeah, obviously, Carla will be on shortly, and her achievements, you know. I pale in comparison to that, but I think that she would agree that with some of these ultras, it's about kind of keeping emotionally fairly level, not getting too excited or too down if you can. But let's see.
Guest of the week here in the studio. Guest of the week sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete, could be a physio, or a complete unknown.
Our guest this week is the fastest woman to run the length of Great Britain. Carla Molinaro set the Le Jog record last summer, and on the weekend she'll be setting her sights on the 100-kilometre British and European record. We're delighted to have her on the podcast to talk about all things ultramarathon. Carla, welcome to the podcast.
Hi guys, thanks for having me.
And you're in the sunny part of the US, aren't you?
I'm out in Phoenix, Arizona at the moment, looking at a nice blue sky.
Sure. Don't you just hate her?
Oh, sorry. <God.
laughs> Cut the podcast.
Cut the podcast out. Well, can you tell us, Carla, about the event that's happening this weekend and your ambitions in it?
Yeah, so Hoka have released a new shoe called the Carbon X2. And with that, they've put on this event this weekend where there's a whole bunch of runners from around the world that are setting out to try and break various records, a lot of national records, and the guys are going for the world record over 100 kilometres. And we're going to be running around a racetrack out in Phoenix, pretty much running around in circles all day on Saturday, which is going to be fun.
Wow.
We were just talking just a second ago, just the three of us, about sort of ultras and the pinnacle, sort of like the race that everyone, that a lot of ultra runners we know tout, that sort of celebrate, is the 24-hour track kind of stuff. And we were all like, that seems like the worst.
Like, nah.
have you ever done the 24-hour? Because is this like your first sort of like big track race sort of stuff?
Yeah, this is my big first track one, but the loop is like 11 kilometers long. It's not like painful, like a 400 meter running track, which I can't think of anything worse.
Yeah,
it's a bit longer than that.
I mean, so obviously Rick mentioned it in the summer, you took running, you know, you run up the length of the country. So I feel like 100K is pretty straightforward. But is that distance for you chiefly a physical one or a mental challenge?
Yeah, they're both quite different. I mean, when I was doing the jog, it was taking me about between 15 and 17 hours to run 100 kilometres. And then this weekend, I'm hoping to do it in 7, which seems a bit ridiculous. This one is like all about like just having to stay focused for 7 hours, like just keeping on that pace, keep looking at my watch, making sure, because you just like naturally like lose concentration. So a lot of it is about that focus and trying to keep the speed up, where Le Jog was about just having a picnic and running all day.
It looked like such a lovely picnic. I mean, some of those major A road picnics looked really good.
They were really scenic and really nice with cars and roadkill and...
Should we talk about your kits? What you obviously Hoka, we've got to talk about the shoe, but what will you be wearing? What kind of kit are you going out in on Saturday, Sunday? Which day is Saturday?
So it's on Saturday. So yeah, it's actually a little bit tricky because it's going to start off at about 1 or 2 degrees in the morning. And then by the afternoon, it's going to end up being between 20 and 25. So going to start off having to wear like a couple of layers and gloves and a hat, and then pretty much strip off as we run through the day. I think I'll probably just wear a vest and shorts. It's quite lucky that there's like 3 aid stations on every 10K loop, so I don't have to carry food or drink or anything like that, which is quite nice. You just have to remember to grab your stuff as you run past. And then, yeah, the carbon shoes, which are quite nice. Hopefully they'll make me nice and speedy.
And have you done a lot of your training in them?
Yeah, I've done pretty much like all my tempos and my fast sessions in them over the last, I guess, 3 months. So I've been wearing them about 2 or 3 times a week.
How has it just been? It must have been planned for a while now.
Yeah, I think I got asked to do it in about September last year. So, and then had to keep it a secret, which was pretty hard. Everyone's like, why are you doing these ridiculous runs? I'm like, oh, just for fun. it wasn't for fun. So yeah, for quite a while now. And yeah, like it's, I think they've gone into like so much detail where they, because they did a run similar to this a couple of years ago, where they tried to break the 100 world record before. And I think they learned quite a lot from that, from the guy, like in terms of like aid stations and temperature and time of year and all that. So yeah, hopefully we're in for a better shot and like the best conditions we can. I don't know if you guys saw the, what was it called? The Marathon Project that the guys did out in America a couple of weeks just before Christmas.
Yeah.
That's on the same track. So we're racing in the same place as them, which is quite cool.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If we just go back to like the beginning for you, Colin, like how did your, do you remember your first ultra? Do you remember what it was like and what did you sort of learn through that experience?
So my first one was, it's called like the Matterhorn Ultraxe, which is out in Zermatt in Switzerland.
Yeah.
I'd never done an ultra. I'd never run in the mountains. I'd never run on trail. And I thought it was a really good idea. Yeah, what could go wrong?
Give it a go.
Also, not just any old trail. Not like, oh, I'm just going to try the local woods. Like you went big trail, big trails.
Yeah, but the trails in like Europe are amazing. They're like so well manicured, and you can like run on them properly. You don't have to like crawl over boulders and stuff like that. So it was actually really nice to run on. And yeah, it was I think it was like 44 kilometres. Some people are like, ah, that's not a proper ultra. It is. It's over a marathon. It's fine.
Yeah, it still counts.
Yeah.
I'll take that badge. And yeah, that was the first one. And I loved it. Like running out in the mountains all day. I think it took ages, like 7 hours or something. But yeah, it was really fun. And although it was a bit intimidating how quickly some of those guys can run up a hill, like, I'm like, that's disgusting. Like, how can you get up there so quickly? I walked.
Like mountain goats.
Yes.
Just like getting up.
So you loved it from the start then, basically, and then it's kind of progressed naturally from there, right?
Yeah, pretty much. From that, I started to do some more like, I guess, like running adventure type things and more ultra races, like with a backpack and again, off to the mountains. Or running around things like the Isle of Wight and stuff like that. Like that just appealed to me a bit more than like full on like ultra racing. And then I did my first Comrades Ultra. That was probably my first like proper road ultra in 2016. And then from there, just, yeah, adding a few on the list every year.
You've probably done this out of politeness, but you haven't mentioned the incredible London Peaks relay that you took part in.
Oh, yeah. that was a highlight.
I bet that was. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think actually you took part in, you did like more legs than anyone. I think you might have done three legs because you definitely, you finished, and that wasn't the, you were part of the finishing group, and I'm sure you just carried on running, but it was, I'm sure it was a career highlight for you.
It was so funny. So on the second to last leg, I was actually running with Vassos Alexander, and everyone's like, where is he? And I was like, I don't know. Like, he was meant to be, we're just about to start. And then he like just appeared from a bush. I was like, do you know where we're going? He's like, no idea. I'm like, okay.
Great.
Follow me.
away we
and
go.
Then I finished. Yeah. He was just like running around like a maniac. I was like, all right. I think it was like 2 o'clock in the morning as well.
Fantastic.
But yeah, that was super fun.
Because we were sort of considering how, certainly during lockdown, people have been clocking up mileage as they've either found running, or certainly people have sort of taken on the challenge of trying to run further as they can. And maybe the ultra is a sort of an appealing thing for people. So, and you've been actually doing this quarantine to qualify. You've been sort of helping out with that project online as well. What would be sort of like some guidance to anyone who wanted to take on an ultra as a beginner? Like, how did you, you talked about your first trail, but how did you sort of switch over to sort of thinking, I can run further than 26.2?
To be honest, I think sometimes running an ultra is a little bit easier than running a marathon, just because with a marathon, there's so much pressure in terms of, well, what time are you going to do? Like, are you going for sub 4 hours? Are you going for sub 3 hours? Where no one actually knows how fast you should run an ultra. So immediately, like, that's thrown out of the window, which I think takes away quite a lot of the pressure. And then from that, there's now like the quarantine to qualify, like those guys, it's a company called Ultra X. And I think what they're doing is really nice. They've got these like shorter days where you can either go and do 125K over the weekend, or you can just do one of the days, which is 50K. And I think that's quite like a nice way to get into it, where you get the hype of the whole weekend of everyone doing the longer stuff, but you can kind of like dip your toe into the shorter end of it. And it's a really nice way to start. And then I normally find once people have done one, the next day they're never doing it again. And then in the next week they've signed up to four the rest of the year. So yeah, start, you know, I probably wouldn't go in and start doing a 100 miler, but those 50K races, there's quite a lot of them now, and they're quite a nice way to see if you like it. And there's a lot less pressure than the marathons.
Did you hear that, Rick?
Yeah.
Don't start with 100 miles.
I didn't.
Are you starting off with 100
miles? No, I'm not. No. But I think I did run a 50 mile race when I'd only done one marathon, which I think was a bit of a, that was quite a step up, really. But you know, it's all part of the adventure, yeah. All part of the fun.
It is fun.
Ultramarathons are still more popular among men. So what would you say to kind of female listeners who are considering an ultra, but they're kind of not sure about, you know, taking on the distance or being like the only female in a crowd of men?
Yeah, I think this is interesting. I've actually had so many girls get in touch that want to start doing ultras, which I think is amazing. And I've been really surprised. Yeah, since the beginning of the year, probably about 50 different women like asking how they do it, which I think's pretty cool. I mean, it probably helps that I'm an ultra runner and that's why they're getting in touch. But a lot of them have also like tricked a friend into running with them. And I think that's like a nice way, you know, if you're a little bit scared to start, it's actually quite easy to trick your friends into doing stupid things. So finding someone to do it with you, you know, you can share that training journey and the race together. I think that's a nice way to do it. And as well, like ultras, they're just friendly. Like, it might seem scary, but you get to that start line and it's not like your big, let's say, London Marathon start line where, you know, you don't really know anyone and no one really says anything to anyone. Like at ultras, like everyone chats to each other. You're high-fiving each other as you run past on the trails. You know, if you see someone sitting on the side of the road, people like stop and ask if you're okay. And they're actually not that intimidating and are actually really fun events to do. And yeah, there's loads more girls doing it now than I think there was in the beginning, which is cool.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, and the stats speak for themselves in terms of like female performance in ultras and how, you know, they're surpassing the men and winning outright. And I think that that's a real a real point that to champion ultras to anyone, especially to female listeners who are kind of considering whether they should or whether they shouldn't. Like this is definitely a side of running where it's a great leveler in the gender biased world, as in the female performance is out-surpassing men regularly in the ultra field.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And you saw that like last summer as well, when there was, you know, other girls going out and breaking records like Beth and Sabrina, and, you know, getting up to and very close to the guys' times, which is cool to see.
Let's talk about the race then on coming up this weekend. So you're gunning for the British record over 100 kilometres. What is that?
It's 7 hours 27.
Okay, and what's a European?
7 hours and 4 minutes.
Wow. So that's is that kind of, I'm just trying to work out what that it's kind of, is that kind of 3-hour marathon pace times 2?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
So it's like 4:10 a K or 6:40 a mile.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
All day long.
Just amazing. I mean, like, that's going to, I guess that's going to be painful fairly, fairly early on. How, when it comes to ultra, I guess it can get a bit uncomfortable a bit earlier than perhaps it does in a marathon or something like that. What's your tactic going to be for when it does start to become, like really, really physically taxing?
Just like hold on and hope I don't die.
That's good.
I mean, like that.
I like that.
That's a meme. That is a meme ready to take right away.
Yeah. The thing is, like, I know it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
But in my head, I'm just like, hopefully it's only 7 hours and then I can go and sit by the pool in the sunshine and get a tan.
What are you? Are you going to listen to music? Are you podcast? Are you, what are you? Are you on your own? Kind of what are you doing for that 7 hours?
No, so I don't like listening to music when I run. I don't know why. I just like to listen to what's going on about around me. There are some pacemakers, but they're going out a bit slower. I'm not too sure why, because I thought initially the girls were like going for the American record. And there might be some like secret squirrels hiding in there that might appear on the day and go a bit quicker. So there will be some pacemakers. The guys are going out 5 minutes before us. So I think, you know, you're going to see the other people as you go. There's a couple of like out and backs on the route. So keep entertained by looking at the other runners and, yeah, just trying to keep moving forward.
Do you have are people sort of shouting out your splits to you as you're going? Or have you got to keep an eye on your watch the whole time?
I think I'll have to keep an eye on my watch. So they've got like 5K markers all the way around the course. And then I'm just going to write down like on my arm, very technical this, my like 10K splits so I can roughly see where I am. And then I'll just try and keep an eye on the clock as well. It's just, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, once you start daydreaming and thinking about like eating pancakes at the finish, then you might go a bit slower. So I need to stop doing that.
Maybe draw a pancake on your arm next to the next to your
just
times.
Like dangle it in front of my face on my
like
hand.
Like a great motivator, like, oh, 10K split plus that's a delicious pancake. I better speed up.
Yeah. That like race math you have to do.
It's so hard.
That's confused me just hearing it.
What's the where can people follow your progress, Carla, on this? Is there a kind of dot watching website?
Yeah, so everything's going to be on the Hoka website. They're going to have actual like live broadcasts, so they're filming the whole thing.
Oh, cool.
So you can watch the whole day if you've got nothing to do on Saturday and want to watch us running around in circles for 7 hours.
I don't think anyone has anything on then at the moment. You know,
exactly.
It's fine. That's probably a highlight now for the weekend.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so some dot watching, and I think everything will be up on there. Everyone's splits and how everyone's going through the race.
Cool. Well, best of luck, Carla, with it. It sounds amazing.
Yeah,
I hope you can get the British and European records to add to the little jog record.
Thanks. It's cool, isn't it, if I can.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. Thanks very much to our guest, Carla Molinaro, and thank you for listening. If you'd like to let us know what you think about the episode, do so, podcast@runnersworld.co.uk.
Subscribe to Runner's World magazine today and get 3 issues for only £5. Visit hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get this exclusive listener offer. The Runner's World podcast is available on Acast, iTunes and all of your favourite podcast apps. Please subscribe. Do that little clickety box thing that makes it sure that it arrives in your library every single week. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.